American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii, but we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part of roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.AmericanLogHomesAndCabins.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
It's time to have all your problems solved. Mary McAvoy and Barbara Scully join us once again. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello there. How are you?
Both feeling wonderful. You all right, Mary?
Why?
Are you all right?
I know I looked like I was dragged through a hedge backwards.
No, you don't.
I'm in very bad form today now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm cranky.
Oh, gosh, why?
I went to war with French bureaucracy this morning and I'm not the better of it.
Okay, why and what did they...
I was trying to fill in...
You were trying to bring the horse to France and it didn't go well.
It didn't go, and they didn't like the butter either.
That's for our older listeners
Yes. Google it, as they
Google
say.
Google it, yeah.
You can imagine people go, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about, yeah.
Should have to Google things that happened yesterday, you know what I mean? Anyway, no, I'm very cranky, so that will be reflected in my answers.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, you can take some comfort in the fact that there's other people out there who we just need a kick in the arse.
Yeah, exactly, and no they'll get one today from the horse.
My husband and I decided to separate a few months ago. A few weeks after our separation, I went on a work night out and I kissed a man who works in the same office as me. I went back to his house, but nothing happened. And this is where spelling is important,
yes,
listeners.
Yes.
Apart from some soft patting they've written here, that's... Did he take out a paddle for this or what happened? We assume that means soft petting, whatever that is. About a month ago, my husband and I met for a coffee and we had a great laugh. So we decided that we'd go to couples counselling to see if we could give our marriage one last go. In one of the sessions, our therapist asked if we had anything we wanted to ask each other while we were being honest. My husband asked me, had I been with anyone sexually during our break? And I said no, because in my eyes, I hadn't. I don't view a kiss as sexual. I know it's a bit of a white lie, but I told it in order to keep things on track and not ruin the bigger picture. My husband keeps saying stuff like, it's great to know you were with no one else while we split up, to which I just smile. I told the initial lie to keep the peace, and I feel if I tell my husband, it will blow things up again. So in my head, I should say nothing. What do you guys think? When does a white lie stop being a white lie?
I think this woman is eminently sensible.
Yes.
I think she is doing exactly the right thing. And I don't think a kiss... I mean, obviously, it could have been sexual.
Yes, it was. She's lying. Yeah, this is like Bill Clinton when he said, I did not have sex with that woman.
I know. Well, in fairness now, he was having something that I probably would consider to be...
Oh, no, absolutely. But his distinction was highly Jesuitical.
Technically, exactly. I mean, I think this is a much more clear-cut kind of a situation here. As... leaving aside the heavy patting.
Yes.
But yeah, no, like there's big stuff at stake here. So then you're quite entitled, I think, if, you know, because of the fact that it was a minor, what's the word, infraction?
Infraction, and they were split up at the time.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. Mm. So, you know, I think to keep the peace and if you want to get your marriage back on track, I think the only thing I'd say is, and the only thing that slightly worried me is that the husband keeps saying stuff like, it's great to know you weren't with anybody.
Yeah.
Now, you'd want to make sure, because this was obviously a work situation, that he hasn't found out.
Yeah.
But if you're fairly confident that he hasn't found out, then definitely, and even if he has, deny it.
You see, I kind of think it all depends on why the marriage broke up, right? And he, you know, if he ever finds out that, you know, somebody could have seen her going in, you don't know, or if the push telegraph gets around, that she, it's going to be worse than if she told him. And I feel that if there is something there, you don't know why they broke up, and he seems to to be a very, you know, quite insecure. And also, if you're on a break or if you're on a separation, I don't know, you don't belong to the other person. So really, you can
kiss who you like.
You can go and meet the number one army band if that's your thing. You know, I mean, yes, I understand what you mean about making her life a bit easier. But if it all goes, if it suddenly comes out that this did happen, or she has a few OL jars in her one night and thinks, ah, sure, I can tell him now and it'll be grand.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think honesty is the best policy.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Don't agree. I think in this instance, stay stumped.
But like,
and I mean, it's only a kiss. So even if it did come out, sorry to interrupt you, if it did come out, do you know what I mean? Somehow somebody told him or whatever, she can say, this is awful. But she could say, oh yeah, he tried to kiss me, but I wasn't having any of it.
But like, if he's the kind of
person.
In his
house.
If he gets.
But nobody saw them in the house though.
Right.
Yeah.
But if he's the kind of person that
the husband
peed off over that,
is she
the kind of person she'd want to stay married to?
Yeah. But sure, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
no,
the kind of thing.
Well, I think she wants to keep, because she said, I told the initial I to keep the peace. So she obviously wants to get the marriage back on track. So, you know, I think she's done the right thing. And okay. I think what's prompted the letter, she's feeling a wee bit guilty because she feels she's not being 100% honest. But
sure.
I think in this case, it's a minor detail.
But they are going to counselling too. So maybe she could talk to the counsellor and say, look, this did happen. What do you think I should say? Because, do you know, I don't know, God, if it came out.
A good person.
I'm not good, I'm a rotten person. But, you know, but if that came out,
Ash was only like,
you know what struck me as weird is that my husband and I decided to separate a few months ago. Then, you know, a few months later, they meet for coffee. Then they decide to go for couples counselling.
Yeah.
When the marriage was breaking up, they didn't decide to go for couples counselling. It was a bit throwaway, isn't it?
It is. I think the whole thing, you have to go back to what broke them up in the first place. I really do, because there just seems to be something. He seems very insecure. She seems kind of wanting to keep the peace, which is, you know, sometimes if you go into a marriage wanting to keep the peace, then you're keeping the peace forever and then you're kind of compromising yourself. I don't know.
Yeah. Your man went straight too, had you been with anyone sexually during our break.
That's the thing.
That's on his mind.
Flag to me. I would just be worried that he might have an inkling that something had happened. But even having said that, I think what happened was minor, completely minor.
But that's what I think she should tell.
No, I don't think she should tell. Yeah. I think in his head, he'll put all kinds of extra things in there. I think, say nothing.
It won't be like patting in his head.
It'll be full on patting.
It will be up on the paddle. He'll be
heavy petting.
Yes.
But is that still a thing?
Like, I know
it's still a thing, but do people still use that phraseology? That was like in my day.
Do you ever remember Angela McNamara?
The nuns tell you about heavy petting.
Now, Google her. Google Angela McNamara. But like, there was all sorts. There was heavy petting. There was light petting. There was petting you could do before you were engaged and petting you could do after you were engaged.
Oh, really?
When you were engaged, you could indulge in a little bit of above the waist action. Hmm? No?
Really?
Yes.
Was she in the paper on the radio?
Angela McNamara,
I
didn't know she was that mad liberal.
I don't know.
Very liberal.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything.
But
there was a whole degree of petting. There was. Oh, yeah.
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 I don't know if they should be together at all.
I don't think it
seems like the relationship, like they just threw away a marriage kind of almost whimsically.
Yes.
And then they had a laugh and they were having coffee. And so, let's get back together.
They just said they separated for a bit. So it might have been we went on a break rather than we definitely decided the show was over. It might have been just we're going to take a break from each other because we're doing each other's heads in. And then they realised.
Yeah, but I think you should be allowed. For anyone who's thinking of doing it, if there's anybody listening, I hope you don't have to, but if you're thinking of doing it, agree that, you know, either they see people or they don't see people, so this doesn't arise in the future.
They should get back together again.
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have thought it's okay. Like, as you say, and you said this, I think it's okay if you're on a separation, if you are with somebody else. You'd wonder then, is it any of his business if they get back together again, what she did in the time that they were on?
Technically, it isn't.
You wouldn't ask the question.
No, you wouldn't, yeah.
Really,
no.
You'd want to kind of just move on.
Yeah. Yeah. In the same way as you don't, as you tell a white lie, you don't ask the question you're afraid of the answer to.
Exactly.
To which you are afraid of the answer.
Was patting part of the reason that they broke up?
I think patting was the whole thing. If they'd done a bit of petting, they'd be grand.
Yeah.
But it was the patting that did it.
Why did he ask the question, says one texter. Yeah. Why does he keep bringing it up? She needs to ask him. Someone else says she's a liar. It's not fair. He's willing to go to therapy and make changes, and now she's putting that all at risk by not telling the truth. Someone else says, what's the point in going to therapy if you're going to lie?
Oh, God, they're all much better than I am.
As Ross said to Rachel, they were on a break, so she had license to go riding whoever they wanted. There was no riding.
She didn't ride anybody.
It was patting.
There's no riding.
Lord help us, two women on the panel. Men haven't got a chance. Unfaithful wife. And already it's the man's fault, says
Steve. I'm defending him. I'm in bad humour. Oh, now, God, don't Steve. Bring... Don't, you don't want me in a bad humour.
I think there's a story there with Steve.
Can I remind everybody that there's normally two men in the studio and I'm on my Sweeney Todd.
Exactly. Exactly. You
know, we've just redressed it a little bit.
Michael and Cork says, she was on a break. Exclamation marks. They kissed on a work night out. Someone defo saw at some stage.
It's going to come out.
These things always do.
But a kiss, like, really, would he be entitled to get his knickers in a twist over the fact that his wife had a kiss with somebody?
Well, when they were separated.
Yeah. I mean, like, really.
I still think, honestly, I think you're better off to fess up, even if it's only set for selfish reasons, get it all done.
Ooh,
and I don't know. My partner kept texting other lads on Snapchat. And so obviously this was a few years ago. And hit it and kept saying, I love you and I don't want anyone else, but never came near me. The only reason she texted is because that she sent in the email is because she wants you to justify her cheating. Someone else says, I'd say the husband asked because he had done something.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
That is a possibility.
He wanted to find out so he could fess up.
Someone else says, it's as clear as day. He had a bit on the side himself. Why can't these two women, can't see this? They're
blind. Innocent.
Waving their arms around. Why did they separate in the first place? Was the husband not patting softly enough? I guarantee that the male work colleague will be boasting and exaggerating about the soft patting to all and sundry. Yes. And the husband will find out eventually.
Yeah.
What is soft patting anyway? We don't know. Well, she did go back to his house. I think that's worse. Yeah.
Going back to the house. I think it's compromising, yes.
Now, in all fairness, going back to the house, unless he like lived at the end of their street, shows a bit of intent.
Yes.
Yeah, but she didn't go through with it. That's,
she didn't go through with it. That's true.
Line.
But it still showed
no
a bit of intent.
Sin and go to your head.
Now, but you see, if she had told the truth in the first place, sorry, he would have told the truth then, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Because he wanted it. That's why he brought it up, because he wanted to confess as well.
That's, well, I just, which I'm just trying to get back
maybe
to my
true,
point.
There's nothing to be gained from either of them fessing up to anything. They either want to get back together again,
or they don't.
Or they don't. Okay. And that's the bottom line. All the rest of it is only just distraction.
Okay.
In my view.
No.
Yeah.
Moving on.
So she should keep strum. You're both saying, or are
no,
we
Mary's
a split decision?
No, I'm saying
honesty is the best policy.
Okay.
I'm saying don't say a word.
Could your team help me? I work from home in my front living room. I live in a small housing estate, and over the last decade or so, a lot of new families have moved in. This might sound great, but in practical terms, it's driving me mad. Since the weather has gotten better, every day after school, the kids are all out playing on the road, screaming and shouting like mad. It's interrupting all my work calls. And I can't hear myself think. They've also taken to drawing all over the footpaths in front of my house with chalk to play hopscotch. They whiz around on bikes, and when driving into the estate, it can be impossible to predict where they'll come from. These kids are driving me mad, and it's my street. It's starting to turn into a playground.
My street,
I was thinking of contacting the council to see if I can get some additional rules in place, but my friends say I should speak to the parents first. What should I do?
Lots of love, the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang
Bang.
I'm not mad about kids, but I'm not. You know, I mean, I like animals more
Fair
than
enough.
I like kids.
Yeah.
That's just my way. I to be very kind to them, but I kind of think the lovely thing nowadays, we always said kids never play. They're always out. They're on their phones. Yep. It is love playing hopscotch. That's heaven. To see little kids playing hopscotch.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Can you not go to a back room? I mean, I'm sorry to be, I am cranky, as I said, but this is annoying me because this is the kind of children that we want nowadays. Kids that get out, that play hopscotch, that have a bit of fun, mm-hmm. they're on their bikes, they're out exercising, they're not eating 10 donuts, watching something on, you know, playing Minecraft or whatever it is. You know, so I honestly think that, I actually think he's in the wrong or she's in the wrong here. I think try and get a quieter place. God blesses your house, must have a bit of soundproofing somewhere. Can you make, if your office is at the front of the house, could you bring your office to the back of the house? Because I think the greater good is served by these kids being out and free and playing hopscotch, you know? And, you know, everybody wants to get murals painted nowadays everywhere. And here you have natural kids doing this. I think this person needs to sort of
take a chill pill.
The only thing that I would worry about is them coming from all directions when he's coming, just for their
sure.
sake.
Yeah.
But that's another thing. But I think the idea that he or she should expect the kids to be quiet when they're having fun, as normal kids do, is completely unreasonable.
I agree. I think, yeah. I mean, you know, I totally agree with everything Mary said. And that struck me as well. Like, oh, God, isn't it lovely to think that the kids are out on the road playing, you know, doing their hopscotch, all that kind of old fashioned stuff. I think it's great. I mean, he lives in suburbia. What does he expect?
Yes.
You know, part of the deal, if you're living in a suburban area, is that you're living fairly closely beside your neighbours, and whether it's your neighbour's pets or whether it's, you know, kids or whatever, you are going to be aware of what is going on around you. And one of the interesting things is that I don't think this is that unusual.
OK, I'm told it was a woman who sent this in.
OK, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I might know her. But I think that this is not that unusual. I think that very often, and I hate to say this because I'm not that young myself, but I think as people get older, sometimes they become very intolerant of things. Like, I wonder if this is a woman. Did she never have kids that were out
maybe,
on the street?
I don't know.
Was she never a child herself?
Yeah.
Do you know? And I mean, the other thing which Mary references is the fact that the kids are whizzing around on bikes, and when she is driving in the estate, they can come out of anywhere. Well, that's why you should always drive really slowly in a suburban estate.
Absolutely,
and also, you talked about preferring animals. Mm. You know, there's, you know, in most suburban estates, there'll be, you know, cats,
dogs
wandering around, and you're not meant to drive fast in an estate. Yeah. So you should be driving slowly. So this person, if they're really not happy, you need to sell up and you need to move to the countryside where you'll have fields all around you and just cows mooing and sheep baaing and there'll be no kids.
It can be pretty noisy too.
It can be very noisy.
Like cows, my God.
Yeah. And the smell of what you call it.
Yeah.
What is it?
Silage.
Silage.
Yeah.
Well, I get used to that. Things. I have seven roosters. You should have seven roosters. I'll tell you. Now, come live with me, cranky lady.
Yeah.
And you'll have seven roosters to deal with.
Well, James suggests that a good set of noise-cancelling headphones hook it up to the phone, problem solved. Yeah, I mean, really, absolutely.
You see, there's ways around all of this, and I don't think she wants to see it. She's the kind of woman, my street.
She wouldn't give back the ball, I'd say.
No, yeah, well, that's the point, my street. Like, the bounds of her house extend to her front garden. Yeah. Everything else is a community space for their community.
Yeah. The amount of people who think they own the road outside their house and the verge outside their house and, you know, the whole street in this case, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Part of the deal of living in suburbia.
Look, move your office or whatever it is to the back of the house. Get a bit of soundproofing. It would be cheaper than moving, you know. I mean, you know, like, but I think to do that and be the sort of wicked witch of the West is not, it's not to be witchest about it.
to be witchest.
I love witches myself. But I do, honestly, as gently as I can say it, you are in the wrong, I think.
Yes, I totally agree with that. We are in agreement.
This idiot sounds like Victor Meldrew, for God's sake, and chalk washes away. They live on the street too, I assume. Miserable sod. though a few people are agreeing, she is right. She needs to raise her concerns to the parents first. Kids are entitled to play, but not cause chaos. But it sounds like they're playing. There's no chaos.
That's not chaos.
Yeah, I feel for this woman. It's very hard when working from home to hear screaming and shouting outside the window.
Oh, my God.
The very simple answer for that woman is she's working from a residential area. Get off your arse and go to your office in an area zoned for business. Tell her to go back to the office and work there like most other people. If you're working from home, that's a privilege and a perk. She's working from a residential area.
Mm. It's funny that it's only the kids that are annoying her.
Yeah.
Because as somebody who lives in suburbia, the noise, the constant noise of living in the suburbs,
strimmers,
of traffic, of house alarms, ambulances.
Yeah.
The only thing that's annoying her is children playing, which is a happy noise by comparison to all the other noises. Yeah. Like, seriously, you know, take a chill pill.
Lorna says, my advice is move. Parents will think you're a whinge. Their kids can do no wrong. I would advocate no children developments. I'm retired, female, and feel your pain. I have children and grandchildren, but but I want to live a quiet life after working hard all my life.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's a different thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Move out to the countryside.
Yeah, don't expect children.
You'll
not
be
to
able to put money in the bank, yeah. Set up your house in the burbs, and out you go to the countryside, and then be loads of quiet.
Eamon says, sounds like the road I lived on when I was little. What this person's problem, isn't it great to hear of children out playing instead of being stuck inside watching TV or on laptops or phones?
Yeah. Sounds like a great neighbourhood.
Nora says, we moved from Westmeath back to the suburbs. Compromise is the word. I use the front room for my college work, mature art student, and I love hearing kids playing.
Yeah.
If there are noisy barbecues, etc., we head off for a few hours.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Yeah,
you have to compromise.
I was always told it was wrong to name an animal with a human name. It might sound odd, but it was a steadfast rule in my family and upbringing. Now, 20 years later, I have my own little family with a brand new kitten. In choosing the new cat's name, I find myself in the minority with two children and a wife against me. My wife and the kids want to call her Caroline, but I find myself doing the dad thing, the same thing that was done to me, and completely shooting it down. It sounds so wrong. I just can't shake the absurdity of naming your pet after a person. What if we meet a Caroline and she asks what our cat is called? Or what if the cat grows up and turns out to be really mean and ugly? It would be a horrible for future Carolines to hear they share the same name as our cat. Am I alone in thinking this way? Or do people actually name their pets after humans?
Is it a full moon?
I don't know.
I think this person probably is quite alone, except for whatever unfortunate siblings grew up with them in the house where they weren't allowed to call animals a person's name. As somebody who has a constant team of four cats. In other words, I've had millions of cats down through the years and we're currently on our second dog. The best way to name an animal is looking at their personality and giving them a name that suits their personality. We currently have a Mabel and we have a Winnie and our old dog
that's
was...
people then.
Yeah. And our old dog was called Dylan. So I think Caroline is a lovely name for a kitten. The other thing that we did when the kids were small, which is a lovely thing as well to get some kind of buy-in, particularly with a kitten who doesn't need a lot of maintenance, like doesn't need to be walked and all the rest of it, get them to name the kitten.
Yeah.
It's not like he doesn't seem to believe in a democracy either. Like his wife and his kids are settled on the name Caroline and he's not happy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think he gets to veto the family's choice here. I think Caroline is a lovely name. The other thing that annoyed me is that he said, what if the kitten grows up to be mean and ugly? I'm wondering, did he think that about his kids when they were born? You know, what if we call Sarah and she grows up mean and ugly? Mm. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Mm. I wonder, is he related to the woman with the kids on the road?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, at least he has children. He's given them some room to live in his house.
Okay, Mr. Man. I have, as I said, aforementioned roosters. I have five who live together and they're lovely little fellas. And they're called Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch.
Brilliant.
And Google it.
Google it, yes.
And I have I've got a rooster called Pete. I have a rooster called Sid, who has a wife called Nancy. And and I've got Mrs. P, I've got Maud, and I've got two hens that are exactly the same and they're both Beverly, because one of them would be Beverly.
Yeah.
I have got two little black hens who were Mary and Frances, black.
Very good.
And like and they're lovely and I have a sheep called Gary.
And I have a fox called Gary.
Gary, it's a great name.
Gary the fox.
You know, and I love my animals. I don't consider them inferior to me. I consider them
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I think they're companions. I think we have a lot to learn from them. And I think the kinder and more respectful we are to them and not to see them as accessories is the word. And like my poor old horse Roderick would have ended up in that hellhole in Strafford if he had been rescued.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to learn, you know, to live with animals, to care for them. And I think you'd be better off to try and, well, yes, I think Caroline the kitten is a lovely name, honest. Yeah. I've got a lovely little cousin called Caroline and she's adorable.
I have a friend called Caroline, so she'd be delighted to
love
this kitten.
And she'd love a kitten. Children would be delighted to it. Exactly. If somebody told me they had a flipping Rottweiler called Mary, I'd be delighted.
Absolutely.
Because it would be very aptly named.
Today in particular, yes. Yeah.
Well, Tony on Twitter says Conor Murray, I assume that's Conor Murray, the rugby player, has a dog named Kevin. Our new puppy is called Bobby, named after my father who recently passed away.
Aww. Yeah, that's nice.
That's lovely.
Yeah, no, I think there's no rules here. Yeah,
And someone else says that they're listening to us with their son, and the son has just suggested that they call the cat Cataline.
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 That's very
nice compromise. So yeah. That's lovely.
I mean, there is a danger in letting your kids name animals. I mean, we ended up having a cat called Tiger and another cat called Simba. So a lot of cartoon kind of things going on.
Yeah, we had the Simba as well. Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Yeah, our Simba was...
But it's lovely for kids to feel that they have an input into the animal that they're living with.
John says, we adopted a handsome big stray cat in 2012. My wife called him George after George Clooney. He subsequently discovered that he was a she, but still called her George. George had a great life and is buried in our garden under the alder.
I grew up next to a family and they had, God forgive me, this very ugly little dog who was called Butch. Now, he was a tiny little ugly dog and he used to smile with his teeth when you said hello, Butch. And then he became pregnant. So he was then called Mary.
Thank you.
Butch Mary. Butch Mary. Phrase. Mary and Barbara, thank you very, very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model. Normally $42,450 is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii, but we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part of roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.americanloghomesandcabins.com.